From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And we're pleased to have Katie Parada, who is the Executive Director and Superintendent of Schools. It's a little early in the school year for me to be sitting down with a superintendent. Am I in trouble?
Not at all. Not at all. And thanks again for having me.
Yes, yes. Is it still new superintendent?
Yes, of course it is. It's still new superintendent. Yes.
Since July 1. Yeah, it's a baptism of fire, and we believe in baptism.
Right. So, it's a grace period.
It's a grace period. But you're not new to schools.
No, I'm
and
not.
And for those that haven't missed your first interview.
Yes.
You were at St. Dominic's in Benicia.
Yes.
As the principal.
Mm-hmm. And then before that, I taught in Catholic schools in the Oakland Diocese, mm-hmm. Right out of college. So I've spent my whole professional career in Catholic education.
Wow. And did you go to Catholic school as well?
I did. I went to Holy Spirit in Fairfield, mm-hmm. Elementary School. And then I attended public high school, right. But did my master's at St. Mary's Moraga in California. So,
and
yeah,
you also
kind
have
of all
a doctorate.
Over. And I also have a doctorate, yes, in educational leadership.
Wow.
Yes.
So you're well-rounded.
Well-rounded.
What's it take to get a doctorate?
It is a lot of work.
You do it while you're employed, right?
Yes. I mean, a lot of people take time off from work, yeah, to complete it. But I decided just to do it alongside, being a principal, which I think helped a lot because a lot of your doctoral work is focused on broader issues in education. So it helped me be a better leader within my own school. So, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like a
three,
lot of
three
work.
And a half. Yeah, it took me about three and a half years. It takes anywhere from 3 to 5.
And that was the University of Phoenix?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you just kind of put your head down and say, okay, I'm going to finish.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting that University of Phoenix has a beautiful football stadium and they don't have a football team.
Exactly.
So maybe we need to start one.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, indeed. So school's been in session a couple of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
We have, 37, 38 elementary schools?
Mm-hmm. 35 elementary schools.
35 elementary schools.
Yeah.
You can tell math was one of my big subjects.
Hey, I taught English language arts, so math isn't my strong suit either.
So I get past 2 plus 2, and that's it. Yeah. In fact, I remember in third grade, my guy next to me, it was 2 plus 2, and he said 4, and I said, give him another chance. So we thought we had COVID licked completely.
Yes. My predecessor, Lincoln Snyder, when I had a good conversation with him before I officially accepted this role, and I just said, if we're going to be dealing with COVID, I'm not sure that this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And he promised me, he said, oh, no, Katie, we're on the outs of this. Don't worry. It's all going to be fine. And that's not the case. But that's okay. That's okay. I have a ton of support on my team. And our principals and our teachers are wonderful. So, last year, I think our main goal besides creating disciples of Jesus in our schools was to provide in-person learning with low on-school transmission. And we successfully did that all of last year. So, we learned a lot. And so we're able to just put those strategies into practice now and move forward and do the same thing this year.
Yeah. Last year, Catholic schools were back almost the whole year, most all of them.
Yeah.
And most of the public schools didn't go back till about March or April. And it seemed as if the Catholic schools were sort of a model for how to do it right.
Definitely.
And you had tremendous teacher buy-in.
Yes.
Tremendous staff buy-in and tremendous parent and student buy-in.
Yes. Yes. And I think it just speaks volumes about our Catholic communities willing to do anything and everything we can to support our students. And we know what was best for them was to be in person and to be learning. And so everyone put forth their best foot to make sure that happened. So
Is there mask fatigue? Is there COVID fatigue?
There's definitely COVID fatigue and mask fatigue. Absolutely. And we're living in a very political environment, so it can be challenging. However, you know, we will follow and comply with the law. So that's what we are doing and moving forward. So our students, you know, they do follow their mask requirements indoors in the classrooms.
So you're dealing with... We have state laws. Mm-hmm. We have 58 counties in California, all mm-hmm. with their own medical directors and their own rules based on sort of kind of the Catholic theory of subsidiarity. At the lowest level is, or not lowest level, but the closest to the people understands better what works in Modoc County might not work in Monterey County or
definitely
vice versa, you know, but. So you have, I believe we have Catholic schools in 11 counties.
We do. You're right. We have 11 counties.
So that's a lot of different people to sort of be juggling one's rule. And all of them will have some, I mean, they can all be overruled by the state,
yes.
I presume.
Yes.
And the feds tend to back off on local schools and let the states and the local school districts, for the most part.
Yeah.
The CDC will issue guidelines, FDA will issue guidelines, but it's mostly local.
Yeah.
And, of course, the diocese has its – I mean, the diocese, I really admire what Bishop Soto has done from the start with the pandemic is we're following the rules.
Yes.
We're not out there trying to blaze a new trail or something. We're following the rules because we know we're dealing with something that we haven't really dealt with before.
Definitely. And I think it's important to note we don't get to pick and choose what laws we follow as citizens. And so, yes, we're following and complying with everything that we need to. And then we obviously consult with all of our local counties just to see, because there's definite variance, like you were talking right. about, all of our counties are different. So what, you know, Sacramento has in place or expects from our schools right. might look very different than Tehama or Yuba or, right. you know, those counties. So schools do individualize their protocols according to their counties. But obviously all of them across the board comply with state.
Wow. It's just a lot to juggle right now.
Yes, absolutely.
And then we have the added, I don't know, I hate to call it political, but it seems to be coming that.
Yeah.
We've got vax versus no vax. We've got mask versus no mask. It's troubling because, you know, the church has taken a very strong position that without requiring vaccinations, saying that it's okay. Not only is it okay, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have a duty to the public good
mm-hmm.
to take care of each other. And so if you don't get the vaccine, you better be very careful
yeah.
that you don't spread it to somebody else. That's part of Catholic doctrine.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the beautiful things, too, is just seeing and being out on our campuses the past 2 weeks and seeing how happy our kids are that they're just back and they're wearing their masks without complaining. And they just have so much joy and pride in their school campuses and they are thriving and they are successful. So I think if anything, it's nice just to be out there and to see that and to remind us all, you know, why we're doing this, why we're following these rules,
yeah.
You know, because it's to keep our kids safe.
Yeah. So I remember when I was in seventh or eighth grade, we'd have figured out a way to use those masks as a slingshot.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they're still doing it.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah. So what sorts of, I mean, do we have a vaccination rule in terms of faculty, in terms of staff?
So we do. So actually, CDPH put out a employee vaccination verification order this past couple weeks. So all of our employees, they have to verify their vaccination. And if they are an unvaccinated employee, then they are subject to weekly testing.
If they're unvaccinated just because they don't want to have it or they got the religious exemption
yeah.
or medical reason.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then we track that so that if we were ever audited or anyone needed that information, you know, it's to hold us accountable that we're making sure that we're on top of it.
What about students? Because, I mean, so many students are under 12, not even eligible for vaccinating.
Right. There's no vaccination mandate for students.
Okay. So maybe you don't know the answer to this question. I don't for sure. Who decides whether or not they're going to grant a religious exemption?
So right now, that's what the lawyers are discussing. Thank goodness I'm not in that realm. But right now they're saying that there might not be such thing as a religious exemption. So we will see. We'll see what the lawyers decide on.
It's one of the things that makes me proud to be an American is that even when it came to fighting wars, you know, something really serious, that we always granted a religious exemption.
Mm-hmm.
And that one got changed a little bit when it got challenged by non-religious people saying, wait a minute, you're favoring religion over. And they had a point, you know, that it would be, if an atheist came forward and said, I have an ethical
yes.
Reason why I don't want to get a vaccine, I'm afraid if that one, not really afraid, but if that one went to court, the court would have to respect that you can't just make it a religious, because you're basically saying only religious people can be moral,
mm-hmm.
only religious people can do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we know that's not true, or fortunately, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the natural law, even someone that wasn't raised in the faith, maybe hasn't found God yet,
mm-hmm.
Can certainly be a moral person.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just thankful that I'm not going to be involved in having to make that decision.
Yes. I say, give me the first shot here and the second shot here. Yeah. Now I want the booster. The booster sounds, I like that, the booster.
Yeah.
Like an extra shot of caffeine.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the academy, the online academy.
Oh, yes.
You know, which I think was just a brilliant idea, because you had teachers doing double time, triple time, trying to service people that were still at home. And I know from our own family's experience, some kids thrived, actually loved the online,
mm-hmm.
kind of hoped it wouldn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them really struggled with it.
Yes.
It's
a different modality of learning. And what was fascinating too, or maybe not fascinating, but I was impressed by her, you know, our teachers worked so incredibly hard to provide both in-person and online learning.
Yeah.
And their biggest challenge, I think, was, you know, themselves, because they pride themselves right. on their lessons and engaging the kids in everything
right.
they do every single day. So to them, you know, it was absolutely exhausting wanting to provide that to both their right. in-person learners and to their at-home learners, which is where Blessed Sacrament Academy stemmed from. You know, the foundation of that was kind of built out of how can we take this off of our teachers' plates, but also still be able to provide a right. virtual option to our families. So we do have families that are enrolled in Blessed Sacrament Academy, and they're doing online school.
Is it a substantial number or not?
Nope, we don't have a very substantial number. I'd say less than 50.
Uh-huh.
But at least those families.
Is there dedicated faculty to just that?
So there's dedicated. Yes, we partnered with Catholic Virtual,
mm-hmm.
who have been in the virtual, you know, academy
right.
long term. So there's dedicated faculty to that. So it's definitely helped take that off of our teachers' plate. And then really, you know, provided that opportunity for any family, for whatever reason their child can't, you know, attend in person, that they can do it online. We also have quite a few families who are in parishes who maybe don't have a school, or who live in very rural or remote areas who don't have access to a
right.
school. So for them, too, it's a great opportunity, you know, to be on a virtual school with other Catholic kids.
Yeah, that's my hope, is that someday, you know, in Modoc County and Alturas
uh-huh.
or Siskiyou County, or, you know, a lot of those areas. Well, anywhere, actually, in this, it wouldn't even have to. I don't know how other dioceses would feel about kids in their diocese attending school in our diocese. But somebody in Kansas could potentially attend.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny too. I think I just was in a couple meetings with all of our Catholic school superintendents across the state of California.
Right.
And it's interesting because we all get along so well. You know, we're all in this Catholic educator. You know, as Catholic educators, we're all in this together. So it's nice to be able to share ideas and share what our neighboring dioceses are doing, and or share resources too. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this option. Maybe you don't. Present this. Maybe, you know, your students want to come, or whatever the case may be. So we're all helping each other.
Yeah, and it's got a very. I mean, you look, some areas have a lot tougher go with COVID right now.
Oh yes,
others.
yes.
And it's and interestingly, where it's highest tends to be where people are demanding no masks,
mm-hmm.
and not no vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you think the higher it gets, the more people would say, I'm going to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard one commentator say, you know, all the polling shows that just about everybody who wanted to be vaccinated has been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
There was kind of a rush to get vaccinated.
Yes.
And then
yes.
And it's.
Yeah. And you've seen how there's been a big push to get vaccinated too in the recent months.
Right.
Especially, you know, lots of ads and things. So, I don't know how those numbers will shake out. We'll see.
Yeah. So as you look forward to the school year, it's just touch and go at this point.
It's definitely touch and go at this point. We are, you know, continuing on our collective goals of improving teaching and learning in faith and academics with our students. So we are very focused on our mission. We are very focused on just being in community too. I think that, you know, the past 18, I don't know if it's been 18 or 19 months now since we've been in this, you know, we lost so many opportunities to build community, especially last year, with things so stringent. So, you know, we've learned from that. So we've come up with some creative ways that we can build community within each of our school sites, and just getting together, you know, and getting back to who we are as people and connecting, and building up our surrounding communities as well. So we're focusing on that. We are looking ahead.
How is enrollment?
Enrollment, we're still up, so we will, you know, I'll have to come back on and give you a better update.
Yeah.
Once we see where all of the numbers fall, but we are still up. We ended the last school year just about 3% up, and we're still sitting there, so that's great. We've retained a lot of our families that that were new, so that's very exciting for us.
I'm wondering how public high schools, and of course we root for them too,
absolutely,
how where especially the high schools that have high dropout rates, generally in you know, urban areas, how they, if they've lost just a lot of students who maybe they were a sophomore or something and didn't particularly care for school anyway and have just fallen off a cliff. I mean, you're aware, I'm sure, of the I think it was AB 104 that for high school kids, if you get a D or an F, you can change it.
Yeah.
We're going to give you an F won't be a pass, but we're going to give you the option to take it again. But a D, you can get a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it passed unanimously.
I was surprised.
Nothing has happened. I mean, what flavor of ice cream they serve in the Capitol cafeteria, they can't agree on. But, it's like, 50 to 49.
I know. And it's just, that's a very challenging year for so many of our public high school students.
Yeah.
All high school students for that matter.
That bill only applied to public schools.
To public schools, yes.
Did the diocese consider anything like that?
No.
No, okay. But you probably didn't have that issue.
No.
This dramatic grade drop. It's a response to really. I think it was more, they weren't worried about the kid who got a C instead of an A and might not get into Stanford. They were really worried about the kids that were flunking out.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
And that they want to give them a chance. And I know the state of Oregon has done something quite similar.
Yeah.
We want to give those kids a chance to graduate.
Yes.
Because they're going to fall further off the cliff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's a real tough one. So the transitioning from principal to superintendent.
Yes. You know, I was at, I think it was St. Patrick's Academy yesterday, and I was visiting with some of the students, and one of the students asked me, I think it was a third or fourth grade class, and they said, "Oh, you know, Miss Prada, what did you used to do?" And I said, "Oh, I was a school principal." And they said, "Oh, so now you're just the principal of the principals." And I said, "Yeah."
Yeah. That's funny.
Pretty much. That's it in a nutshell.
So I guess people say, "So what did the chief do?" I mean, you're in charge of everything.
Yes.
You're in charge of what they serve in the cafeteria.
Yes. Yes, everything.
But what's the main role?
It's really to support and advocate for the principals who are running our schools, who are directly, you know, supporting and advocating for the teachers, and who are directly, you know, supporting and advocating our kids. So it's sort of a trickle down. My, you know, larger role at hand is seeing the big picture of things and working with our principals to have a really clear vision and finding resources and doing whatever I can to support and to steer us in that direction. And then, you know, working alongside our pastors and collaborating with them and, you know, making sure that we're all on the same page and in our true mission of, you know, creating disciples of Jesus.
Absolutely. Getting everybody to heaven.
Getting everybody to heaven.
Yeah, that's right. I remember years ago interviewing the superintendent from the Diocese of Monterey. And her name escapes me right now.
Oh, was it Kimberly? Or was it Kimberly? I know Kimberly is there now.
No, she's not there now.
Okay.
She left, I think, to take care of her parents.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So it was maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I said, "So what's your daily goal?" And she said, "To get the kids to heaven."
Oh, I'm going to steal that now.
Good. I thought I wouldn't have thought of that. I'd have come up with some kind of fake intellectual answer, you know, like
yes,
yeah, get them into Harvard. You know? She went right for the gusto.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
So I've always remembered that. So, but is there if we enrolled our kids in Catholic school in Kansas. Would it be curriculum-wise, would it be essentially the same curriculum, same textbooks that we have here in California?
No, that works a little different because there are certain state guidelines that you follow. But I would assume that the structure most likely, you know, might look the same, might be different curriculum, might be the same. You never know. But there would definitely be some things that are the same, similarities across the board in Catholic education. You know, religion every day.
Right.
Mass. Lots of prayers. God, please help me pass this test.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny. I always, I've written a number of articles about, I write a daily newspaper column and about prayer in public schools, you know, and I live in Davis, and I say, okay, let's say the school board says, okay, we're going to have prayer in the public schools. I don't think I'd like the prayer they picked. You know, like, oh, good, we're going to have prayer in the public schools. And they pick some prayer that is not exactly the Our Father, you know. And now I'm stuck with it because I advocated for prayer in the public schools, which I didn't. But, you know, and it's like, gee, I got to sleep in this bed. I made it.
Yes.
You know, and I don't ever remember. I went to public schools, and we didn't have a Catholic school in Davis at the time. And I don't ever remember being told I couldn't pray before a math exam. Yeah, God, please help me pass this test.
Yes.
Or make this free throw or whatever, whatever it was, you know. And wasn't always answered. Well, it was always answered, but not always in the way I wanted it to be answered.
Yeah.
But you can pray in the public schools. You can have a Bible study. I think there are times when administrators, whether it's school board or a school principal, where they panic when they hear religion, and they don't know what to do. Like somebody wants to have a pro-life club or a Bible study, and you go as long as they follow the rules and lock the door and clean up after themselves, it doesn't really matter what the content is,
right?
You know, and it gets a little dicey if the content is, you know, not, you know, I mean, if it, the content has racism in it or something like that. But but when it's, you know, we can have a Jewish club and a Catholic club and everything else in a public school. Yeah. But I think it scares them.
Definitely. I think you get, it's easy to get wrapped up in things like ed code and who, you know, am I liable for this or liable for that? Or what are the legalities surrounding this? Right. You know, cause you have to put your administrative hat on a lot of times, when you're making important decisions. So I could see how easily, you know, how easy it would be to get wrapped up in all of that. And how easy it is to look at something and say, this is a good idea. Let's do it.
Exactly. You know, as long as you're not favoring one or the other.
Exactly.
I remember in I was 10 or 15 years ago that the public schools in Davis had a – they probably still do it. They would invite sort of town figures like the police chief or the fire chief or superintendent of schools to come and read to the fifth graders.
Yeah.
You know. Just for an hour or something. And so I got asked to come read to the fifth graders. And, you know, they're all sitting there cross-legged. And
they're annoyed.
Annoyed. Who is this guy? And what's he going to do? And is he going to be boring like all the rest of them were? You know? And the teacher says, well, Mr. Dunning, have you picked a book? And I said, or did you bring a book?
Yeah.
And I said, no, I didn't bring a book. And she says, well, we've a whole shelf here of books. Why don't you just pick one out to read to the kids? And I'm scanning it, and there's The Life of Cesar Chavez. And I go, oh, I like Cesar Chavez. And I think he was, you know, he was a figure in California. There's a Cesar Chavez holiday now and an American hero. So I pull it out, and open it up. And here's Cesar Chavez receiving Holy Communion.
Oh.
And I'm going, oh, my God, it's a public school.
Did someone put this in here by accident?
and it's so I start reading. I said, Cesar Chavez is a very religious man. He went to Mass every day. I could see the teacher just, all the blood run out of her face.
Were they sweating? Was she sweating?
So I knew there was a God after that.
Yeah, no kidding. You didn't bring. I can't believe you didn't bring a book.
Oh, well, I don't have any books.
You just thought, I'm showing up.
Ask one of the kids, can I steal one of these books? Tell me a book a fifth grader would like to hear. Yeah. Bring Mad Magazine or something. But, yeah, the schools are, you know, it's funny because it's where so much, it's where parents start to lose control a little bit. And... or they make good friendships, and we've sort of been through the gamut with kids who kind of didn't want to go to school, mostly because they were shy or they were didn't fit perfectly, and others that were completely social and couldn't, I mean, they didn't even like summer. They just wanted to get back to school to their friends and their activities and all that stuff. And I'm glad you're doing the job and I'm not.
Oh, thank you.
That's hard work. That is very hard work because you're talking about their whole lives. You're talking about their futures. You're talking about all that.
Yeah, and it's an honor. It's an absolute honor to be serving students and families. There's no greater calling than working, you know, with young people and for young people. So I feel very fortunate and blessed to be here and to be serving.
When you got the call offering you the job, did it take your breath away a little bit?
Oh, yes.
am I ready for this? I mean, you had to feel like you were ready for it. You certainly were trained for this.
Yes. Yes, I was it definitely took my breath away and I had the same feeling. It was the same feeling when I got the call to step out of my teacher role and to be a principal. You know, I kind of said to myself, am I ready for this? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I could ever fully answer that. I think you just go where you feel called to be. Yeah. And you know, what's better than learning along the way and figuring it out and, you know, knowing that you have the support of so many people around you. I felt called to it ready. I don't know, even if I were 6 years in, 7, 10 years in, that I'd ever be ready. Because we never know what's going to happen, you know. Every day is different, but every day is exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah, right now, every day is really different.
Really different.
Yeah, they're gonna
the good, bad, the ugly.
Yeah, you all have to stay home today. Teachers, everybody, you know, it's
you just don't know.
I thought it was. I got vaccinated, felt not cocky but comfortable.
Yeah,
you started going to the grocery store without a mask and went out to dinner a few times, you know, and then all of a sudden I said I shouldn't be doing this. Because now you hear about the breakthrough cases.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and that's and let's be honest, the breakthroughs are higher percentage. It's still low, and you just don't get as sick supposedly, but it's a higher percentage than they anticipated.
Mm.
They always thought that might be 3 or 4% or something.
Yeah.
You know, because vaccines aren't perfect, but
right.
But you don't hear about breakthrough cases of polio.
No,
or you just don't.
You just don't.
Nobody. As far as I know, nobody gets, at least in this country, gets polio anymore.
Right, right.
And we were in my generation, we were the guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
We lined up and got the shots.
Yeah, and for kids too, you know, there's such a low transmission. There was such a low transmission rate,
right,
between kids, and now, you know, I think across the board, not just at our schools, but just across the board, we're seeing so many more kids, yeah, you know, becoming positive.
That's what I don't understand, and I don't know if that's because it's the Delta, or if. If maybe we're all vaccinated and it's looking for a host, and
mm-hmm.
Well, how about you, 5-year-old? You know, I mean, it's scary.
And I, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I won't even speculate on it. But I just know that it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, and we're doing our best to mitigate it, and just to talk to our communities and to our families too. Of hey, remember how vigilant we were in our practices outside of school? Let's get back to that a little bit, because that's going to be very important for us. To ensure that we have low on-school transmission.
So your protocol is probably very similar to last year in terms of, but if a kid tests positive, obviously you want the parents to call you and say,
oh yes,
Billy is positive, or
yeah,
or even if a parent is, or a sibling, then what's the protocol from there?
So our positive student obviously isolates, and then we have a contact tracer on our campuses. So they do the contact tracing. So all of the close contacts.
This is a diocesan employee, not a public health person, or
right. This is like a school employee. Yeah, yeah. We have one at every school site.
Right.
But the positive case is directly reported to us, and it's directly reported to public health,
right.
County public health. And then our contact tracer does all of the close contact tracing. So they find out who, you know, what other students or staff members were considered a close contact. Those people are notified. Everyone else who just may have been exposed but not necessarily a close contact, all of those people are also notified. So this year it's a little bit different. The state has the option of a modified quarantine. Mm-hmm. So some of our schools are still sticking with the normal quarantine where they just quarantine everybody for the 10 days. Parents do have an option to do a modified quarantine where the students can still attend school, but they have to test twice for mm-hmm. 2 weeks, twice. So twice for 1 week, twice for the second week, and still be negative on all of those to still attend school.
Do you offer testing at school sites?
So it's coming. So we the state has actually provided some accessibility to free testing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have procured a bunch of free tests.
Right.
So those will be out at our school site soon. Yes, because testing is hard right now. We've had a couple situations where parents are trying to, you know, do a modified quarantine, yeah, or get tested, or even just get tested to go on vacation, whatever it is, vacation. And so many of those testing sites have shut down because things kind of opened up. So it's difficult to get an appointment right now, to even and like CVS and Walgreens and all the places where you would get a rapid test.
Right.
They're all sold out. I mean, nationwide, there's a huge shortage in rapid tests.
I read it was one of our local hospital chains that shut down their COVID ward a month ago. Yeah. Just shut it down because they had no patience.
And I'm not sure if people aren't talking about that because, you know, there are definite counties, you know, within our diocese, but I know across California where ICUs are full again.
Exactly.
So I think that's important to recognize and to realize, you know, for as much as we desperately want to be out of this, we're not.
We're not. Yeah. And that's the reality. That's what we have to face. I know state of Oregon's real close to full. Idaho's full. Alabama's full. Mm-hmm. Mississippi's full. Florida is off the charts.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And you're getting a lot of, you know, in the public schools, push like local districts want a mask mandate and a governor says no, and then it goes to the courts.
Yes.
And it's just this divide in our country.
Yes.
It's bigger and bigger and bigger.
I was talking to one of my sisters who lives in Arizona and her students are in the Scottsdale district. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a place where definitely I've saw a huge influx in student cases.
Right.
And so their district wants a mask mandate and the governor was even mentioning that, you know, federal funding or whatever might be taken away.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I can't
imagine. In
Florida,
they were threatening the salaries of schools.
And it's, you know, we're talking about kids.
I know.
The safety of kids.
Yeah.
You know, who are unvaccinated. But either way, wherever people, you know, fall on masking and guidelines and vaccination, it doesn't, you know, to me, it doesn't matter. I'm here to help keep our kids safe.
Keep them safe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Katie Parada, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. God bless.
Hey, God bless you too. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Julie Sly, editor of Atlet Herald Magazine, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Julie, for that wonderful introduction. Appreciate all you do here for our great Catholic Herald Magazine. Parish Pastoral Council convocation. The registration is now open for this. Bishop Soto continues the momentum of this spring's Parish Pastoral Council convocation with a pair of regional follow-up convocations this October, Saturday, October 2nd, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at St. James Parish, my home parish in Davis, 1275 B Street in Davis, and Our Lady of Mercy Parish in Reading. That will be on Saturday, October the 16th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, Alex Barraza joins us now by phone. Alex?
Hello, how are you?
We'd love to have seen your smiling face, but we're following all the rules.
I know. It's been hard. It's been so hard to be separated by, but we're still together in a spirit.
We are. We are. And you know, in many, I hear so many stories from people that how this pandemic, and it's been horrendous for a lot of people, and a lot of people got very sick and are still sick. A lot of people died, are still dying. But in many ways, a lot of us found new things that, that you know, we maybe got a little stronger in our faith. Maybe we realized that all these material things and all this being on vacation and cruise ships and everything wasn't so important, that being with your family was important. And we, I can tell you, in our family, man, we got a lot of family time. We have four teenagers, and wow, we got a lot of family time that we, at that age, you don't see. Hi, Dad. Hi, Mom. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling somebody that it has been a challenge in many ways, but in as a blessing. I watch movies with my kids that I had no intention of watching, but it's giving us time to do that, and it's like, okay, some of those movies I wish I never watched them, and I don't want to watch them again, but the other ones I've lent to good conversations about superheroes, I mean, about so much stuff. So it's a mixed blessing, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because you hear this about, you know, ever since it was invented, people say, oh, you should shut that TV off and do this or do that and all that. And I've honestly found, and it sounds right, but I've honestly found that when you sit down with your kids of any age, whether they're 4 years old or teenagers, and you watch a movie or you watch even like a sitcom, as long as it's you know, the values are there, you know, there's not some off-the-wall stuff. It's a shared experience, and then you can talk about it, that's very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you talk about that character, like you mentioned the superheroes, you know, you talk about this person and that person and what they did or what they didn't do or what they should have done, you know, because most of those, they have a plot, you know, and they have intriguing plot. And it makes for great discussion with your kids. It's a great, I think, can be a great teaching tool.
Oh, yeah. And you know, something that I've always loved, superheroes, comics, right? But then as I got older, I stopped reading them just because I had no more time and interest in that. But now when Marvel came back, when my kids started getting into the movies, I mean, it has a lot of Catholic values, at least, not in the gory scene of death, but in the essence of a change. What is transformation? What is to be a good person, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what can we do to save the world? What is the world in need of saving? So, yeah, I mean, it's long to a lot of good family conversations.
Yeah.
And as my kids have said, we don't agree with you, but it's okay, Dad. It's like, okay, at least you're listening to me. And he's like, yeah, but it's okay.
Oh, you know, it's funny when your kids, like I say, four teenagers, you're going to get kids that disagree. And I obviously, if they disagree about curfew or, you know, all these things that kids can get into, that's one thing. But when they disagree that on some social issue or something, you know, not radically, oh, Dad, I think, you know, or Mom, I think, I look at it this way. Those are discussions I love to have because it means their brain cells are clicking and their heart and soul is there. And frequently they convince you to look at something a little differently.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, the world is full of different opinions, and as long as we can all live together and love each other like Christ loves us, I mean, we can all have our own opinion, especially of things like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, God doesn't turn his back on anyone. And neither should we.
Amen to that, sir. Amen to that.
Yeah. Okay. I think, Alex, we just solved all the world's problems. You can go now.
There you go. I mean, we make it, but we need to make it into a hammock.
Yeah.
And then we're going to sell it to Marvel, and we'll be awesome. We'll be set for life.
That's great. So you got some great events coming up.
Yes, God willing, and pandemic allowing, we are hoping to get together again in person in Six Flags. Last year, of course, we couldn't, but we're hoping this year that we're going to be able to do that for our On Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tradition now. I mean, it's going on for more than 10 years, and it's fun. And it's at Six Flags Vallejo, or Vallejo, I'm sorry. And from
you can say it either way in this diocese.
I know, I always say Vallejo, and then some people tell me, well, where? Oh,
that's
Vallejo.
You know, that's what we grew up with, and then when I don't know, when I got older and we started playing them in football, it was like, oh no, it's Vallejo, you know, we're pronouncing the L's, you know, and you go, well, no, it could be Vallejo.
I know, and the thing is that I was in New Mexico for before here, and you get used to different pronunciations, but it's great. But the point is that we're going to be there at Six Flags on September 18, 9 to 8 p.m. We have mass in the morning, all-you-can-eat lunch, and then we have awesome speakers in the evening and holy hour. And we're going to have Joe Melendez is back for the morning emceeing, in the evening rapping, hip hopping. He's a great guy. He actually has new material. So if people have not heard him, because he was very active during the pandemic on YouTube and what have you.
Uh-huh.
And so he has some new material that he's going to be sharing.
Oh, very good. Well, we've had him on the program several times. He's delightful. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's so spiritual,
right,
and full of zeal to go and proclaim the gospel to young people.
Mm-hmm.
He's a gem there. And then we have Sister Josephine Garrett.
Yes.
And I mean, if
from
you,
Dallas,
if,
I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is, I believe, she's the vocations director for her order,
mm-hmm.
and she has a powerful witness of going from not close to being religious or living a religious life to converting and finding her calling as a sister. And she's powerful when she speaks.
Yeah, we had her on the program, and I was just fascinated. I just turned my mic off and let her talk. You know, she's really something.
Yes, I heard her. I've been several conferences. And the people will say, well, what does she have to say? And then she starts talking, and you're like, oh, my God, don't let her stop. She can say many things. So she's wonderful. And then we have a priest, Father Redmar Jal. He's a Jesuit. And he does young adult ministry. He has some in the Jesuit province. And he's really, have you had him yet in the radio?
No.
No.
We're scheduling him, though.
Yeah, I heard him at the RE Congress when they used to have it. And he did a young adult mass, and he challenged young adults, all of us that were present, right, to go and live out the gospel. He has such passion and such joy. I mean, he's a great speaker. So I'm really looking forward for him to come in and challenge our young people to live the gospel and to be beyond the moment. So he's a great, a powerful speaker. So we're going to have Holy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a group from, they're all over. And they're called Epic.
Epic, yeah.
And they're band, Christian Catholic band, and their music is very powerful, very profound, very spiritual. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great event that we have planned.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's some teenagers listening saying, this is all well and good, but what about those rides? And they're going to have plenty of time to go on the rides, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we changed the again. Has been working to make the schedule better every time. And this time, there's more time to ride the rides than before. And then after Holy Hour and our program, evening program, you're going to have 2 hours of only on fire participants to ride the ride. So it's going to be awesome.
So it means you probably don't have to wait in those long lines.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's only going to be with people that that you saw at the concert, Holy Hour, and at the Mass. So it's going to be really cool.
There, Alex, there are some rides I would not go on after indulging in an all-I-could-eat lunch.
I'm with you. You know, my favorite place there is the Butterfly Garden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love the Butterfly Garden. It's my go-to place.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It's a fun place. There's no question about it. A lot of creative energy went into creating that place.
Yeah, my kids already challenging me to ride was it the Joker? I don't even know.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, you have to ride it this time. And he's like, I don't know.
And my kids have given up on me on that stuff. They know I'm not going to do it anymore. I get dizzy on a merry-go-round now.
There you go. Yeah, I'm with you. That happened to me last time. I said, I'll go to the merry-go-round with you. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to go to the merry-go-round anymore.
I always thought, you know, when the kids were little, and they loved the merry-go-round, you know, all the different animals and the music. And, you know, it was just fun. And they could ride a horse or something. And you'd just be riding with them. And it was just so pleasant. And now I get on a merry-go-round and it's, I get off and I can barely walk. You know, it's like,
But it's going to be fun. It's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a full day. It's going to be a moment of coming back together and being together.
Can people still sign up, Alex?
Yes, they can. They can go to our website, the On Fire NorCal website. And they can directly purchase the tickets there. And they can do it as a family. And if they have a season pass, the price drops.
Oh, I see. If you have a season pass to Six Flags, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people should know you get there on your own. I think maybe the Diocese of Reno might bring some buses. But basically, you get there on your own with your family or however you do it, you're carpooling or whatever you're doing. And it's all right there, right off of Interstate 80 in Vallejo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, once you take 80, what is it, 80 West, and you'll see Edison.
Yeah, 80, right where Highway 37 comes in and hits 80 right there in Vallejo. It's hard to miss. Just look for all those rides and plenty of parking and it's a great day, and the fact that it's now into its second decade tells you how popular it is.
Yes, and it's NorCal, so that all the dioceses of Northern California, like you said, right. Reno brings couple of buses.
And a number of bishops will be there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're looking forward to seeing them. It's a beautiful Mass in the morning, celebrated. And it's a reminder that we are not just our local parish or even our local diocese. Right? We are a big church.
Right. Mm-hmm. Indeed. And, then, of course, the next weekend is ministry days.
Yes. Can you believe that? I mean, back to back. But God willing, it's going to be September 24th is for the teachers, the school personnel, that's the focus. And then September 25th is for all ministers.
Right.
We're having a great keynote speaker.
Yes.
Catherine Angulo.
From Notre Dame.
Yes, from the McGrath Institute. She's my personal friend. I've known her for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's done some wonderful. I mean, she used to be the director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, and in Georgia, and she did some wonderful ministry there. And now she's helping parishes do more creative ministry.
And she's going to do the keynote in both English and Spanish.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
that's it's going to be 2-for-1.
Yeah.
And the website for that one is ministrydays.com. People can still sign up, of course, and, I mean, come. It's worth them. There's going to be workshops of all types and mass with Bishop Soto. He's going to be the main celebrant.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Well, Alex, thanks for all you do. And we got some great events coming up. And we'll just love hearing about all of them. And I'm sure we're going to have, hopefully this COVID dies down, and we're going to have great crowds for all of these.
Oh, God willing, we're praying. And we're praying also for the fire victims that right now.
Yes, indeed.
In our hearts and people.
People should go on the diocese website. A wonderful statement from Bishop Soto about the wildfires and the victims of that.
So we keep everybody in our hearts and in our prayers.
Absolutely. Alex, thanks for all you do. We'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
God willing, thank you very much.
Thanks, bless Alex.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
God bless. That's Alex Barasa. And again, Six Flags, it's on fire. Just go to the diocesan website, and it'll show you how to sign up. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of America, Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. So the easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it must save you, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just.